Hey friend, welcome to But What If You Did? I'm your host, Allison. I'm a life coach, podcaster, and most importantly, a cat mom. On this podcast, we talk about the messy middle in life transition. As a generation, there is so much millennials were conditioned to not talk about, and the messy middle was definitely one of those things. So I'm breaking down the walls, doing things a little bit non-traditional, and having raw, vulnerable conversations with some of my closest friends. I interview personal development experts and wellness advocates to show you what's possible and help you build your toolkit so that you too can live a meaningful life on your term. Ready to dive into today's conversation? I promise it's going to be epic. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of But What If You Did? I'm Allison, and today is another solo episode. So something that I have been noticing a lot recently is that I just have a lot of these life lessons kind of playing out that I've noticed a version of me would not have, I wouldn't have seen them for what they are. I wouldn't have been curious about why life was presenting this lesson the way it was. I would have found myself rushing through this uncomfortable season that I'm kind of in, and I kind of find myself right now just kind of reminding myself consistently that there's a reason things haven't happened yet. There's a reason this season is taking longer than I would like it to. And part of it, I truly believe, is just around self-advocacy and not falling back into old patterns that felt so comfortable before that don't need to be comfortable, but they just are, and just toxic behavior patterns that I just need to address once and for all and grow through myself. But as these life lessons have been coming up, I think they're coming up for me because A, I'm realizing that like I am different now and I am thinking about these lessons differently, and I'm moving through these challenging, uncomfortable spaces in a way that I haven't really done before. But at the same time, I'm reflecting back and noticing some of my younger team members and just friends within my circles of influence that are struggling with some of these things in a very similar pattern to the way that I used to struggle with them. So I see a lot of myself in them. And there's this part of me that wants to like save them from making all the mistakes that I made. But then there's also this part of me that realizes that in this season of life, my job is to guide people and to help them work through these lessons for themselves, and the way that they process and work through them may be different from how I work through them. And that's okay. And sometimes, you know, the best lessons in life are like lessons that feel really terrible in the moment, and you just have to learn for yourself. Like, you can't have somebody older and wiser and just at a different stage of life kind of guide you around everything, or you would never learn, right? And so that's been just kind of a powerful reflection for myself. So anyways, this week I want to dive into why I feel like rushing through the uncomfortable seasons is actually holding us back in the long game. And this is something that really feels so true and just authentic to me and a lot that I have gone through. And so I want to share some really like personal stories about, what would have happened if I had become a manager or a leader back when I first wanted to in my mid-20s, because I think that there truly is a reason why that didn't play out for me, and I learned a lot from it, and I'm seeing this reflected in different stages of my life right now. And so I also am a firm believer that when the universe presents you a lesson, it's just going to keep coming back to you over and over again until you learn it. And so this, for me, feels like that moment where this lesson has finally made sense. And so I want to dive a bit more into this. I think that what I, have really observed recently is that it's so easy, especially when you're still trying to figure out who you truly are, to want to rush to that next step. You want to do whatever society is telling you is what's best for you and what's next on that imaginary success checklist of life. To take us back in time, this was probably one of my very first episodes on the podcast. I talked about the imaginary success checklist, and early days of podcaster, they will tell you it's so hard to go back and listen to those episodes. But also, one of the cool things about being a podcaster is you kind of get to listen, observe your own growth over multi-years where you're just having these conversations not only with other people, but with yourself. But anyways, reflecting back, I think a lot about that imaginary success checklist, because I think it's what millennials were kind of taught to live our lives off of. You know, you go to school, you get the good job, you marry the love of your life, you buy the house with the white picket fence, right? Like, we've all heard it before. I think it can be really easy to get caught up in this idea of like, I need to make more money, I need to make the next career move, the grass is always greener elsewhere, right? And so in doing that, I think we have this tendency, and I really do strongly feel that, I just see it reflected everywhere right now, that so many of us miss out on the lessons that we should be learning because we're too busy trying to rush away this uncomfortable, messy middle. And if there's anything that I've set out to do with this podcast, I think it's pretty clear that my goal is to always be normalizing those messy, uncomfortable seasons in life where you just want to get through it. Like, you're like, I don't like this. I want to get to where I'm going. You're looking for the destination. You're not enjoying the journey. And part of that is a product of, I think, just growing up. And I think it's something that so many of us, we just don't even realize we're in the middle of it, right? Like, we're always in a hurry. We're always racing towards burnout. We're always going for the next best thing. So when I was in my probably mid-20s, that was when I started to realize, like, okay, I don't want to be doing the exact job that I was doing at that point for the rest of my life. I was seeing so many people that were in their 50s and 60s still doing that job and how it was affecting their bodies and their health. And I realized that for me, that wasn't the path that I wanted to take. And what society told me was the next step is to go become a manager. And so I really saw that as my only next option and career move. But if somebody would have asked me, like, why do you want to be a manager? I would have been like, oh, because that's what I should do next, right? Like, or that's the next step. But I don't even think I could have articulated why, or, you know, that I, like, did I really care about people at that time? Sure didn't. Not at that season of my life. I was pretty dang selfish. And that's not really something that I think I would have recognized at that time. I would have just said, well, everyone else is doing it, so why shouldn't I? But all that to say is I don't think I would be the leader that I am today if I had not gone through a lot of shit along the way. And so to become this leader that I've really stepped into and to lead authentically the way that I do now, I had to survive over 2 years working under a toxic project manager that challenged my emotional and psychological safety at work. And that's not something I talk about often. It's definitely something I've alluded to on the podcast before, and it's definitely a small pin in my blip of work experience, but it was probably two of the most taxing years in my career, and they're the ones that made me realize that I had to make some pivotal changes that I really wasn't willing to make prior to that. I had to have a panic attack in that particular manager's, in their boss's office, about why I couldn't report to this particular person. I had to open up an HR case for the first time in my life. And this was a person that, for as toxic as our working relationship had been, we had previously been friends. We had hung out outside of work many times. We ran in similar friend circles. There were so many things that made this situation particularly challenging. I had to have this dangling carrot in front of me of like, your promotion is coming, over and over and over again, countless times for years and years and years. And then I would get this promotion and my raise would barely match what the promotion actually was. And they'd be like, well, you got title growth out of it. And it was like, I was just in this like cyclical pattern of like these toxic tendencies just resurfacing over and over again. I had to have a conversation with my boss's boss at one point where he gave me my raise for the year and it was a 4% raise, which barely equated to 75 cents an hour, which is like pennies in the current economy. Well, and it wasn't the economy back then too. While he complained about his 1% raise on a six-figure salary. I feel like so many times over that decade of life, I was told over and over again that I wasn't good enough to leave and to go start a job somewhere else and to move my career forward. And I'd be entry level if I started over again. And I had to live through an 8-month furlough in the middle of a global pandemic. Like, there were just so many seasons of hard that I went through. And there are so many pivotal moments that I can now point back to that have shaped the way that I choose to show up every day and how I choose to interact with my team every day and how I choose to lead and influence those around me. But as a result of all of those things, I know how I will never treat people. I will never treat people as poorly as I was treated in any of those situations. I really do hold my team accountable for integrating work and life together. I'm a big proponent of like, yeah, work is really important. And when you're here, I want you to bring your all. But I'm also a big believer that when life happens, you have to have a safe way to go deal with that. And shaming you about not being at work or being late to work or whatever is not the way to, it's not the way to do that. And in doing so, I've built autonomy into my team, and I've built a team that works harder than I've ever seen humans work before. And they have each other's backs in a way that I've never witnessed. But it's because I allow them all to have a work-life integration that works. And I allow them to be there for the big moments in their life, but also hold them accountable for a high level of work when they are at work and present. I'm a strong advocate for them when it's time for a promotion, when they've really done the work to deserve that. But I also won't just hand it to someone. I understand that there are reasons that promotions don't always work out and that we don't always get the next step that we want. And that is to teach us along the way and to help us build those skills and those life lessons. And if those things happen too fast, we're going to find ourselves in a bad situation. So, you know, I advocate for it when it's right, and I teach you the lessons and help you to learn the lessons, I guess, along the way when it's not. I'm a big advocate for pay equity. All of these things came from really crappy moments in my life where things didn't work out the way that I wanted to. I don't micromanage. I provide tools to be successful. But I ultimately give my people the space to do what they do best. Autonomy is such a big thing for me, and it's something that I struggled to find in my work for a long, long time. I truly believe in leading by lifting others, and so much of what has made me successful is a direct result of my own self-worth being challenged. You know, we talk a lot about self-worth on this podcast, and I've definitely been in seasons where I had really, really, really low self-worth. But I had to start believing, just making that conscious decision, as I talked about in last week's episode, to make a change for myself and to believe in myself and my own self-worth and what I was capable of and worthy of. All of this is a result of every time that I had to pick myself back up and decide that I mattered and my needs mattered and that I didn't have to accept what society said was normal. If I had rushed through these truly uncomfortable seasons, I wouldn't have known how to honor people for who they truly are. I wouldn't know how to hold space for humans that are navigating heavy emotions and big life changes and just dealing with trauma from childhood wounds that for sure need to be reparented. And I know that those are terms that you know you might be very familiar with when you listen to personal development podcasts, but maybe not so much if you've not dabbled in the spiritual space or you haven't done the inner child work yourself. You know, I wouldn't know how to advocate for myself, let alone for other people, you know, and I take it very seriously having the honor to advocate for someone in different seasons of life. So for me, these hard seasons were really the thing that these were the times that helped me to find my truest self. These were the times where I pulled back the layers on who I really was and who I wanted to be. And these hard reasons are now the reason that I can sustainably build teams and help people through these really big seasons of life in a way that allows not only myself to make an impact, but everyone around me to push that impact out into their communities. The uncomfortable seasons are what set me up for the long game, even though I couldn't see that at the time, right? I just feel like I've been surrounded by a lot of this, like, I just need to get to the next step kind of energy. And sometimes I find myself being sucked back into that vortex and like just being like, yeah, me too. Yeah, I have to get to the next step too. And I realized that by rushing through these in-between seasons, I'm really just setting myself up for not being ready in the future. Rushing through these in-between seasons, like, it's never served me. And it's in those in-between seasons that I'm actually qualifying myself for that next step. It's those seasons that don't make sense in the moment that come with those really long-term gains and that set that, you know, that really set the stage for long-term success. So today's conversation is kind of a quick bite-sized episode, and I share all this in a very rambly fashion, but I want it to feel real and authentic. And these are truly things that have impacted my life in ways that are far deeper than what I can share with you in a 20-minute episode. But if this conversation feels like it's pulled up some strong emotions for you, your instinct is going to be to run and to not think about it the rest of the day, to pull back from it. I invite you to really lean into that curiosity, though, and maybe come back to this episode later once you've had some time to decompress or, you know, walk away from the conversation. Because I think if it brings up strong emotions, that's a pretty good sign from your body that you've got some unresolved thoughts around some of this, and it might have struck a chord with you because maybe you've lived some of this too. And I like to just think about it as like, what if this season is here to prepare you for something bigger? What if this season is just meant to, this season of heart is just meant to teach you something, right? And what if this season is really qualifying you to not only help yourself, but to help someone else through a similar lesson in the future? I think society is just really made us believe that we have to be full stream ahead at all times. And in that, we're always racing towards that next best thing. And in racing towards that, we miss the little things. We miss the tiny joys. We miss seeing the life lessons for what they truly are. We miss connections and just things that are around us at all times that really have that ability to change and transform our lives in ways that just make such a big impact if we open our eyes to see them. So had all the things I wanted in life happened when I wanted them to, my life would look a lot different right now. And I really love where I am right now. But what if everything around me was there for a reason? And what, you know, like there's just such a different way to, and a perspective shift that can make a bigger impact and take us further. And that's what influences long game and really just gets us to that next place and gets us to the destination, but also allows us to enjoy the journey along the way. So I'll leave you with one final question. How can you trust that what's meant for you will find its way? I know it took me a long time to believe that I could really trust that things were happening for a reason. But learning that lesson and believing that truly, deeply, and to my core has really transformed my life in a way that I couldn't have imagined. And I hope you guys all have a wonderful week, and we will talk again real soon. Thank you so much for coming to hang today. I know you have a lot of choices when it comes to what podcasts you listen to, and I'm so grateful that you chose to spend part of your day with me. If today's conversation helped you in any way, I would love for you to leave a rating and a review over on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts from. And if you believe the podcast conversation could help someone else in your life, I would love for you to share it with them. The simple act of sharing these episodes with people you love really truly means the world to me. Until next time, friends, I'm Allison, and this has been But What If You Did?